Thank you, Reggie and Mari. That was beautiful. All of us like to share what it is that we consider to be our good news. When something special happens to us, the first thing that we do is to go find someone else to share it with. Now, our good news, it might be acceptance into that college of choice. Maybe it is a purchase of a new house, an offer of a job, or the discovery that a baby is on the way. Whatever it is, we are delighted, and we want to share our happiness with others. Now, in time, the thrill of the good news, it begins to wear off a wee bit, and it might be said that reality begins to sink in. While it is true that we are still delighted with what has happened, we have also discovered that certain responsibilities come with it. If we are not careful, in time we are bogged down with the consequences of the event, and we might even wonder what it is we have gotten ourselves into. Yes, we are still glad that we got into that college of choice and remind ourselves of that fact every time we find us staying up all night studying for that exam. The house, the one that thrilled us at first, it begins to reveal its secrets. A leaky roof or drafty windows. We are still thrilled with this baby, the one who came into our lives. But already we find us discussing the possibility of tough love, and we wonder if we will be able to pull it off. We might even find us awake at night considering the financial obligations that go with our decision. We understand that we are to enjoy life. But is it possible to experience the thrill of the good news and not get bogged down with the responsibility that goes with it? How does one attain the balance that would be necessary to do this? Well, let us realize that all of that considering and all of that pondering that leads to the decision, it takes place in our consciousness. I believe that it is our time of pondering that provides the reflection that is necessary to make the decision. It allows us to place value and give meaning during our time of consideration. And you see, when we are comfortable with our decisions, we are comfortable with the responsibilities that go with them. It really is our reaction to something that gives it meaning. As human beings, we react in a particular way to a person, circumstances, conditions, and sometimes we give power where none exist. Power does not lie in the thing itself, but in the value that we give it. For instance, the college of choice, the one that we value so highly. It is simply an institution where one goes to receive higher training. But all learning, it takes place in us. So the college is simply responsible to provide the atmosphere that will allow it to happen. The college of choice provides the training, but it cannot force us to learn. It really cannot do this. It provides the tools for learning, but learning is our responsibility. That house that we purchased, when you think about it, it is simply a structure that provides shelter, has no power on its own. It cannot make us happy, nor can it ensure that we will enjoy the time that we spend there. And since it is of material means, over the years, we can expect that, yes, it will need to be maintained in a certain way. But we want a place that we could call home, a place where we are comfortable. So we accept the responsibility necessary to care for that house that provides shelter. The house becomes our home, not because of its structure, but because of what it is that we bring to it. What fills our house is what we consider home to be. It reflects our style, color, and decoration. Houses come and houses go, but we carry a sense of home with us, because the concept of home is an activity that takes place in consciousness. Now, if our consciousness is one of peace, our home will be a place of welcome, warmth, and love for all those who visit. The house, the structure itself, it may be beautiful and inviting. But if our consciousness is one of discord and in harmony, it will be sensed and it will be felt. Visitors will stay away. They simply do not feel welcomed. We are responsible for what makes up our home. Now let us consider those children that we bring into the world. Yes, we do have a certain responsibility on our part. We are responsible for their physical needs. It is our responsibility to provide clothing, food, and shelter. We are responsible to bring them up in a way that will prepare them for life's experiences. And this we should do. But let us not get bogged down with the activity called parenting. Inside that little person is a sense of life, a sense of color, style, and decoration. Inside that little person is a sense of home. Each of us comes into this world equipped to make decisions and determinations. Each alone is responsible for his thoughts, actions, and deeds. As much as we would like to, we really cannot make these determinations for another. Perhaps in some ways, parents are like the institution called cottage. They are there to provide the tools for training. But each child must discover the way of learning for himself. We may encourage, and oh yes, we will suggest. But in time, each discovers what works for them, even the children that we bring into this world. Now, we love our children, we really do, and we want them to do well. But we also understand that they must do well according to their idea of what that means, and not according to some standard that we hold for ourselves. As human beings, we are responsible in certain ways, and so yes, I think we all try to do our best. For instance, when we discover that decisions and determinations are debated in consciousness, we become a little more aware of what it is that we allow in our consciousness. We begin to ponder and to consider before we act. Now, pondering, considering, they lead to contemplation. When we contemplate life, we are more willing to consider ideas that go beyond what might appear to be. We entertain certain ideas that might include philosophy or religion in order to discover a finer view of life. It is in this time of contemplation that we learn of the existence of a self, one that has meaning beyond the material form of flesh and bone. There is a name for this self. Some call it the divine idea. Others call it the greater I am. Jesus called it Christ. And he told us that it is the identity of all mankind. It is the eternal life, this self, that has existence beyond the grave. And then we begin to wonder, who is responsible for this self? How did it come into existence? Exactly who is its parent? Does it need to be maintained in some way? And if so, who is responsible to provide for this self? We study and we learn. We read about the Creator and the creation. When Jesus spoke of his Father, he was not referring to the man called Joseph. He told us that his Father was spirit and that his kingdom was not of this world. Also, it was his good pleasure to give his children that kingdom. Well, it seems to me that this Father has taken responsibility for the care of his children, the ones who know themselves as Christ, their spiritual name. As we study and as we ponder about this self, we want to be more like this self. We want to be known as that self that goes by the name of Christ. And so we go about trying to know us in that way. We discover that as human beings, there are certain traits and characters that do not fit in with this idea of self. Through education, environment, the family tree, or perhaps what others have told us, we have taken on certain attributes that do not belong to the greater I am. Well, let us take ourselves in hand and learn to govern ourselves in a way that is compatible with that divine activity that created us, gave us life, and send us forth to live it abundantly. Today's lesson has to do with responsibility. We alone are responsible for our thoughts, our actions, and our deeds. We alone are responsible for what we value and to what we give meaning. And if what we value is Christ, then really our only responsibility is to surrender to this self so that it might lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. Talking about it in this way, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just get another idea of us and live from that awareness. Just let go of that old self and welcome the new one. Much like we did when we emptied out that house and moved on to another. But remember, a house is not what gives meaning. It is the sense of home that has value. We move into the new house with our same concept of home, the one that either welcomes or rejects. We may speak of a greater self and then affirm that, yes, that is who we are. But saying it does not make it so. We may move into a new place of understanding, but unless our sense of self has changed, we will find us in that same old place of awareness. Now, it is not a matter of making us over in some way. It is not a matter of saying, I have this one trait that I do not like. Let me see if I can fix it. It is not a matter of saying, my thoughts, they are not harmonious. Sometimes they're scattered and confused. I will replace them with thoughts of order and of peace. But this does not work. Simply declaring our intentions does not allow them to come about. The only thing that brings satisfaction to the troubled individual is the realization that he is not a troubled individual, but rather that he is a child of God. He is that eternal self made in the likeness of God. We do not substitute a good human quality for a bad one. However, in the realization of the greater I am, any human quality simply drops away, never to be seen or felt again. Any change in the outer occurs first as an activity in our consciousness. Let us understand when it comes to responsibility, our consciousness is our responsibility. The instruction, lift up thine eyes on high and behold only him, is not merely a suggestion. It is actually the key to living the abundant life. And according to our willingness to do so, will it be done unto us. We must no longer be content to be that human being, the one walking up and down the street, accepting both the so-called good and the so-called bad to be his lot in life. This is not the self who we are. Jesus showed us how it is done. He did not say that he knew the truth. He said, I am the truth. He did not look to his body to discover life, but said, I am life eternal. He did not consider the dark places of the earthly experience, but he said, I am the light unto the world. Jesus meant for us to know life in this way. But we can only do so when we know us as Christ, as that self that is life, light, and truth. Then we may express in this way, because at that point there is nothing left to us. The real principle of life is this: your own shall come to you. Our state of consciousness will be manifest as our world, our experiences, conditions, and circumstances. No one can take that from us. People and experiences will be our consciousness looking back at us. The rule is, if we look around us and we really don't like what we see, we must change our consciousness. Our consciousness is the only one we are responsible for because it is the only one that we have any control over. Let others stay where they are. Their own will come to them. And remember, this includes the children that we bring into this world. I spoke of the activity that takes place in consciousness. Our consciousness of truth appears in the outer as form. We are not responsible for the form the activity should take. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is the Lord's responsibility to do the fulfilling. We are only required to live, move, and have our being in spirit, so that spirit may do the work. We are responsible for maintaining our spiritual integrity. When we do this, notice how our responsibilities become fewer and fewer. There's really but one responsibility. That is to maintain our spiritual integrity, to lift our eyes on high and behold only him. We should get busy and do this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. As human beings, we do our work by might, trying to make things happen. We work with power, giving it where none exists. It is now time for us to work with spirit. The early divine science ministers spoke of doing the work, not the strenuous work associated with might and power, but of the spirit. Now, I think they referred to it as work because it does require practice and determination. To work in this way requires to have faith in spirit to do the work. Faith that spirit has the ability to come forth and express as health and wholeness, to express as supply that meets the need. Personal ego. It considers itself to be in charge, to be the one responsible for decisions and to make things happy. Ego feels threatened by this spirit who declares that it alone will do the work. Well, yes, ego should be concerned because its very identity is at stake. The one who knows himself as the greater I am has no other identity. Spirit, it is a freeing action. It frees us from the material concept of life, and that includes releasing the identity known as personal ego. As I conclude today's lesson, let us understand that Christ is not a name given to an intangible object, nor is it an identity that we claim when we die and go to heaven. Christ is a divine reality. It is a living presence, and yes, it is who we are. Now, we also understand that we have experienced the role of the prodigal son. So we know what physical might is and what mental work does. We know what it was like to work on our own. And we took responsibility for working in this way. This morning, let us accept the responsibility that comes with honoring our spiritual integrity. Christ knows what to do, and so it is. Let us pause and give recognition to the indwelling presence. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of stillness, we enter a place that is not touched by the human thought. We enter into the presence of God and time stands still. There are no distractions, nothing to disturb us. And then we listen. We feel a sense of peace and of love. Promises come unto me, and I will give you rest. Rest from the cares of the world, rest from the demands of others. At this moment, our only responsibility is to be in that place, so we may hear the still small voice and receive the words meant just for us. Then we know that we know. We have touched that realm from whence we came. We remember him who has sent us. Our identity is not that of the biological family, but of the one that sent us forth into expression. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we carry our consciousness with us. In this sanctuary, we have been restored and renewed. Let us stay in that place of awareness until we come again in his name. Peace be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.